Okay, here we are back. Hi, we are talking with Harry at Shark Hunters. By the way, there is a lot going on. The next tour that we're looking at photos, which you will visit if you go, and then the one after that in Argentina. There's a lot happening in South America. The story of what happened after World War II is extraordinary. It's major motion picture quality all the way. But you're not going to see it, not from Hollywood, not likely. But you can find it all at Shark Hunters. And if you join, you will be able to experience things by reading books, looking at videos, and photographs that no one else really on the planet will have that same chance. So join up and be part of the most unique historical organization in the world. It's that good. What's going on briefly, Harry, in South America and Argentina that you can talk about? I know some things that we don't want to talk about, but you're going back. I don't know if we want to talk about the metal detector thing. That's not necessary, but there are things down there just waiting for Harry to get down there and connect with.
Yeah, we've opened some doors that very special people who refuse to speak to the lamestream media because
they
know
talk.
Their history. Right, their history will be distorted and bastardized, etc. One I can mention, if you remember a year or so ago, the big splash in the news, Nazi treasure trove found in Buenos Aires behind a secret door, etc. Well, that gentleman, I won't say his name because he went into hiding, and I finally contacted with him. He said he'll be happy to sit down and talk to me. I want to know where those things came from. These are not run-of-the-mill collector item stuff. These items are
very high, very high level.
Right. And
are they still together? Did you find out from him? Are they still together, or have they been scattered and dispersed? Do we know?
The authorities down there were trying to confiscate them, and how can you confiscate them? It's legal. It's legal for him to have all those things, but, you know, makes big splashes, and they're going to donate them to the Buenos Aires Holocaust Museum.
No, but that's not the kind of history that those things will find a good home in, I wouldn't think.
I don't know where they are.
But yeah. Is it your sense that they're still together somewhere?
I think so, yeah.
There was
because
a picture.
Suddenly the story went dead.
It's gone. There was a picture of some of the artifacts in there.
Yeah.
And there was one framed pencil drawing of an enormous Zeppelin. And I think I know who drew that.
same guy that drew the image of what became the Volkswagen car.
That's the one.
I think so.
Yeah, I mean,
They had a magnifying glass down there, too, with a photograph next to it of Hitler holding that very magnifying glass.
See? These might have been personal effects.
That's what I'm wondering. And this gentleman, he's ready to talk to me. The sad thing, whenever we would find some critical stuff like this, and we found a lot of it. It's on the website. We had an angel. That was Jack Goodyear, who lived in South Miami. He was a multimillionaire, and he loved this history, and he loved us having the abilities to dig it out. And every time we'd find some major stuff like this, Jack would finance the expedition. Not a lot of money for a millionaire. It was like $4,000 or $5,000 for 2 hours down there, or two weeks down there. And he would fund that, and we would come back with all sorts of great stuff, not pieces, but stories and photographs. But sadly, Jack has passed away, and so we don't have the money to go down there. And we have links to people down there who worked with Hitler, saw Hitler right up until, well, there's one gentleman who visited with Hitler 1 month before Hitler died. And they're all ready to talk with us because they know we are honest historians. We are not the National Enquirer. We are not this hunting history bunch that got thrown out of more places than I've never been thrown out of. But these people are ready to talk to us, but, you know, we can't.
All right, well, we need, all right, hold on. We need money.
An angel.
This can be split up into six or eight people, and what, $500 each times eight is $4,000? Is that enough?
That would do it.
All right, so we need eight of you shark hunters who can contribute $500, or 16 of you who can come up with $250. I'm serious.
And it's all tax deductible.
It's all a write-off.
Tax deductible.
And you'll send...
Yeah, because... Right.
Uncle Harry down there, and yes...
They'll
this is what we need to do. All right. So this is a challenge. 16 of you listening, $250. And believe it, when Harry comes back, he will be bringing back extraordinary material. And I guess you're going to do digital video and all of it down there.
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
Yes, we are. And the donations go to SISRI, S-I-S-R-I, which stands for Shark Hunters International Submarine Research Institute, which is a 501c3 tax deductible nonprofit organization. Okay. And they'll get a receipt, whatever they donate, and they can take it off their taxes.
What is the projected time frame for when would you like to go down there again?
We were hoping for middle February.
Okay, and, all right. Well, can you put it together if people come through? In the next month?
In the blink of an eye.
All right.
In the blink of an eye. Martin, my translator down there, he's ready to go as soon as I can tell him. The biggest kicker is the airfare. There's just no cheap airfare anymore like it used to be.
Okay, so we need 16 of you, $250. All right, and I'm going to pitch in as well. I'll be one of the 16. So we only need 15. Okay?
Wow. And thank you, Jeff.
Well, I'm always, you know. We can't tell them about the nightmare, but we're working on things. God.
I know.
It's unbelievable.
I could have put that into my suitcase, I'd have brought it back for you, but it's a little big and a little heavy.
We'll get there. All right. So
we need
15 people at $250 to contact Harry at, do it tomorrow. Call him, email him. How do you want him to contact you?
Whatever's easy for them. Sharkhunters@sharkhunters.com or call us at the number that's on the website, sharkhunters.com. The number is 352-637-2917. Now that I've said that, people are scrambling for a pencil.
just go to sharkhunters.com and we'll give you the number one more time. All right, now that you've got your pens. All right, go ahead.
Okay, paper and pencil, it's 352-637-2917. Anytime from 8 in the morning Florida time until 8 o'clock at night, Florida time.
See, this is amazing. Somebody actually talked to the man 1 month before he passed. He is buried down there somewhere. We know that. There's just so much down there. Every time, and a lot of these people are older, and they don't want to take history with them. They want to leave it behind to try to straighten the record out. That's the crucial motivation of all of these people. And I know a lot about what's down there and what Harry is going. I don't know it all, but I know quite a bit. And it is truly extraordinary. And I hope that we can get this together. So 15 of you, $250, and you will get something in return. Not just the ability to have participated in this, but believe me, the research has never been more promising, never been more extraordinary than that which is waiting for Harry to go down and do his thing. So let's get him down there. Let's get him down there.
Boy, oh boy, that would be great.
All right. Okay, back to the photos. We are... what are... Where are we? We're at A11, I think?
No, A10.
A10.
We're at A10.
All right.
Yeah,
A10.
That's... Yeah. That's still another part of our group. That's not the whole group, but we're in a very special place. This is the Messerschmitt Foundation, and we have to be cleared security-wise, name and passport number and everything, to get it's a top-secret military installation where this is located. And these people not only maintain these airplanes, they fly them. They've got an ME-109, a couple of ME-109s. They've got an ME-262 jet fighter, and they fly these things. And not many people are allowed in there.
The 262 still flies?
Oh, God, yes.
Wow. That's amazing. That's a BF-109 in the background.
Say again?
That's a BF-109 in the background. You can tell by the corkscrew on the nose.
That's correct. And they fly that one, too. And we've got clips on our YouTube channel, Shark Hunter's YouTube channel, of the ME-262 and also the BF-109 flying. So they fly these birds.
Yeah, amazing.
This is still all on our on the patrol down in Bavaria and Austria. And then we can jump to 11 if you
want. So that will be on the Eagle's Nest itinerary?
Yeah, absolutely. That'll be the last 2 weeks in September, rolling over into the weekend.
You get to go to that museum on an Air Force base. It's a secret. In other words, public isn't allowed. Get to see these warbirds actually flyable. That's amazing. All right, let's jump over to A11.
Now we're in Austria, and here we are deep underneath the mountain by Ebensee, which is Eben's Lake. This is a factory built into a mountain. And Germany was getting bombed all to pieces, so they built about four times as much underground as they had on the surface. And this was a compound of, I think, 8 tunnels parallel and one long crossing tunnel in the back. This was a factory, and in this one particular arm of the factory, they were building brakes for trucks and tanks in this section. And again, most people are not allowed in here. We have a special friend that lets us in.
Amazing.
And if you look at number 12, that's an unfinished part of that same tunnel system, and that's beyond a locked, barred door that... They only open that door when we are there, and they let us in there, and they make us promise not to get killed. And those who want to go can go into this section, which I did. And you won't get into this any other way. You got to go through Shark Hunters.
Yeah. Part of this complex, it was still being enlarged at the end of the war.
Yeah. And there is indeed a train still in one of these tunnels. No, not a Nazi gold train like you're finding where all these people have been smoking stuff. But this was a train that was bringing in raw material and was going to be bringing out...
What's a transport train? Did you see it?
No, you can't get in there because they left the train when the war ended. They just walked away and somebody came along, SS or... Who knows what? They blew the entrance shut on that tunnel. We know it's in there. And if we go on an expedition, just a handful of guys, then we can get to it. But bringing a tour group, no, we can't do that with a tour group.
So there is a way to get in there to see the train.
There's always a way if you don't.
Well, we need you to get in there, Harry, with your camera. We want to see the train.
We're working on that. We're working on it.
I've
been in tunnels and bunkers that, the sign says, Harry is welcome.
Yeah,
Mein Gang Verboten. And you go around that thing. As long as it's not on a military base there, they'll shoot you. And I've never been shot, but I'll bet I'd hate it. I shot a burglar once. He didn't look happy.
Well, he got what he deserved.
Yeah, true.
A-13.
13. This is a restaurant that was in business 90 years before Christopher Columbus set sail for the New World. It's in Nuremberg. They only serve one thing, Nuremberger sausages. They're the size of your little finger. They're very good. They're very rich. And you get a plate of six of them, and your only choice is whether you want potato salad or one or two other options. And we have a standing offer for Shark Hunters. Whatever Shark Hunters member can beat the Shark Hunters record of how many you eat, I'll pay for your dinner. And it hasn't been touched in years. 42 sausages. Big Steve ate 42 of these little Nuremberger sausages. I have trouble getting through six of them. They're tiny little things, but they're super rich. And he ate 42 of them. And then he topped it off with about a one-foot-tall ice cream sundae on top of that. So I paid for his dinner.
Wow.
I haven't had to pay for anybody's dinner since.
Who paid for his coronary artery surgery?
No, he's still going. He's an iron worker, or steel worker, in Michigan. So he's still going. Big Steve.
Yeah. All right. A-15. You're in another underground tunnel system
right
somewhere.
This is about 200 feet underground. This is in Bavaria in Berchtesgaden. This was part of the tunnel compound complex that ran underneath the Hotel Zum Turken, which is where Hitler's personal guard stayed when he was on the mountain.
That was right behind his house, by the way.
Right. One arm of the tunnel ran right underneath his house. And
the hotel was behind it, correct? Up a little bit higher and up on the hill. Stone's throw.
Yeah, about, exactly. Maybe 75 yards. That's about it. Another leg went to Bormann's escape area, his house. Another area went to Goering's house. And we go into here. Anybody can go into here. That's nice. Oh, you see the guy with the tilly hat, the big guy. That's Dag from Norway. He was the evil ogre.
In the play.
So anyhow, mm-hmm. In the play. And but then there are, if you know where to go, we go through the underbrush, and we go to the escape door for Hitler's bunker. And in another area, we go to the escape door for Goering's bunker. Bormann's bunker escape is right out there where everybody can see it by the road. So we go to these places, and we'll go there again. And then we always take a cruise down there in southern Austria. Now, we were in southern Austria for the A-16 picture. I know you weren't sure whether they wanted to show it or not. These are just people who own a home along the shore of the Wörthersee. And Sid, being a professional photographer, always has an eye for a good picture. And he's got a telephoto lens to reach out and touch somebody. And these were just some people who lived along the edge of the lake.
Residents.
Mm-hmm.
Out for a morning swim. All right.
Yep.
Now
we go on a 3-hour cruise on that lake anyhow.
Yeah. Now is that the same lake that Eva Braun used to swim in?
No.
We're not at Berchtesgaden anymore.
Oh no, you're right. You're right. I misspoke. Yes, this is Königssee. No. Strike that. This is not Königssee. This is Wörthersee down in southern Austria.
Okay.
We go for a 3-hour cruise on that, on the Wörthersee, which is where this is, because people have ultra high buck houses all around there. But in Königssee, where Eva Braun used to go, nobody has houses there. We cruise on that. Mm-hmm. There's an old monastery that we stop at, which is now a restaurant.
Everything turns into a restaurant when it gets old.
Yeah.
It seems like.
They eat well over there.
All right, so, let's jump over to B1. This is a Martine photo. I'm going to guess this is Buenos Aires.
This is Buenos Aires, and there was a guy named Ante Pavlik, who was the leader of the Croatian fascists, and we found out he's the one who built all the tunnel and bunker systems we've just learned about in Croatia, and he escaped finally, and he came to Buenos Aires. He got a job as a bricklayer, but then he was introduced to Juan Perón and Evita, and he suddenly was a general contractor, and he built a lot of these buildings, including the one you see there, with the huge, big steel structure of Evita.
And he that's hanging on the side of the building, I see.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
And Martina and I went to the house where Ante Pavlik lived, and there's a monument on the corner where he got off his bus, and a Yugoslavian secret police guy was waiting for him and shot him in the back twice. Didn't kill him, but he died in the hospital a couple of years later. So that's one of the... And this has taken a shot in downtown Buenos Aires. It's a beautiful place, the city. We're going there in November. They call it the Paris of the South. Beautiful place. So
that's like a major radio and television station building, media outlet of some kind. Transmitters, at least, are on top.
Yeah, they got a lot of stuff on the roof. Yeah, could be. I don't know.
Okay, let's jump ahead to B2. There's a little
Baker 2.
Little building there. It looks a little Germanic.
A little dumpy restaurant called the ABC Restaurant. This was a favorite place where Mengele and Eichmann and some of the guys used to gather for lunch. And it's still there. I've eaten there. The ambiance is better than the food.
Still in Buenos Aires, huh?
Yes, in Buenos Aires. Just about four blocks from our hotel.
All right, very good.
And the interior, if you look over to Baker 3.
Yeah.
All these Germanic crests are along all the walls in there, in the ABC restaurant. This is in downtown Buenos Aires.
Interesting. All right, stand by a moment. We'll pause and come back and see if we can get through the rest of our pictures. Remember, 15 of you are needed to send Harry in about a month back down there to do his amazing research, and perhaps some of that research will pan out for the fall tour when the people go down to Argentina in September to go see and learn about some even more amazing things. All right, hang on, be right back. Photo stroll with Harry, and we are at number B4. Okay, now B4, there's a remarkable structure in the background there.
You betcha. That's the place called Inalco, which is where Hitler lived from 1945 to 1955. And unfortunately, it doesn't look that nice anymore. This was shot in 2009 when I had a small group there. In 2011, I think it was, a volcano in Chile erupted and laid about 4 inches of ash on everything. And the house is kind of beat up now, and the green grass is all gone. When we were there in 2009, we just came by boat. Nobody's lived in the house since 1955. We just came by boat. B4 beached the boat and walked up here, made ourselves at home around on the property. When I was there myself in 2008, I picked the lock and let myself in, took pictures inside. But when I was there, as you know, just last June, that's right, last June, we had the permission, cooperation and everything of the owner and the caretaker. And he basically just turned the key in the lock and said, I'll be back at about 4 o'clock. So we took videos, which are on our YouTube channel. We took photos. And so when we go back this year, it's going to be with the same permission and assistance. The guy's going to let us in, and we're going to take all sorts of photos. That's all you take is photos and videos. You don't take anything. But that's going to be part of our tour to Argentina.
And that is going to be special. It's really too bad that you can't do a... I know nobody would want to do this. I would. A work vacation there for a week. Just get pressure washers, blow the roof off, blow off the sides with water, clean all the ash off. The house is structurally still fine. It's just the exterior looks a little ratty. But the house needs to be completely preserved forever. Think about it. He lived there for 10 years. That may be longer in one location than he lived anywhere since he was a child.
Yeah, most likely. You can actually, you can buy the place. As you know, the whole area is for sale.
Yeah.
There's not only this compound where he lived, but also about 500-600 yards away through the woods, where we will be again when we go back at the end of this, toward the end of this year, was the remains of the farm where they raised cattle to eat, and they raised racehorses, and they raised Great Dane guard dogs, and that's all on our YouTube video as well. And you can buy the whole place. What I say was 240 hectares, whatever that is.
I think it's 2,700 acres.
Okay, there you go. Right on the lake. Right on this magnificent lake.
Yeah.
And
there are a bunch more pictures of this at Shark Hunters. Lots.
Right. And they're down from 40 million Yankee dollars now down to only 23 million Yankee dollars.
Should be preserved. There are enough billionaires on the planet now. You'd think that one of them would buy this up and resurrect it and preserve it. It's the location is gorgeous, and sure, yeah, they picked the right place for him. The house was built by the Mercedes family, obviously, with the idea that the war might not turn out the way it was supposed to, and that Hitler and Eva Braun and many others certainly in the area would be moving there, and they made this for Hitler and Eva Braun, his wife. It was guarded 25 hours a day. The inlet to the house had a large observation guard post tower on it, which you've shown pictures of. And there was a bunker, a combat-style bunker, on the other side of the inlet, which was eventually bombed by the Argentine military for some dumb reason. But yes, no one could get in there. No one could move. No one could get in there at all unless they were cleared.
Right. It was built mid to late 44 when there was no question the war was going to go down the road for Germany. And at that time, as you know, there was the only way in and out was by seaplane, flying boat. There were no rail lines going there. There were no roads going there. And it's about 800 miles southwest of Buenos Aires. And in 1945, it might as well have been on the dark side of the moon. There was just no way in or out easily, so it was incredibly secure.
Okay, so there's Inalco. That's B4. And let's look at picture B.
Next one.
Go
Six.
Ahead.
I don't know what happened to B5. anyhow, this is an island in that same lake. The island is called Waimul Island. And German atomic scientists built a whole laboratory there on this island in 1947, 2 years after the war ended.
You heard Harry right. He said German nuclear scientists. Okay?
Right. So they built this nuclear research laboratory two years after the war was over, and it was funded by Juan Perón. And just to the left, off the frame, on the mainland, that's where Perón built his mountain troop school, so he could protect his interests there on the island, and also so he could keep an eye on them. And if you flip over to B7, this is just one of the buildings that's left. We will be on this island, and all the buildings are still there in really rough shape because, you know, they walked away from them in 1951 or 52. The government tried to promote this as a tourist attraction. You see a sign down there, and they had a boat that would run tourists back and forth, but that nobody cared about it, so it just fell apart, and now it's just a protected island, and we have permission to go. As a matter of fact, the previous director of the Argentine Atomic Energy Commission is a good friend of mine, and he opens all the doors for us. He's a fine man, brilliant man.
Very good. Okay. Right. Next is B8. There's so much to each one of these pictures that we've covered in the past. It's quite
Where's
remarkable.
B8?
C1.
Okay, yeah, this is... Norberto got us a little out of sync because some of the other photos, we got A photos after that. But we'll go through these C photos quickly because nothing's firm here. This is Russia. And Russia is not a poor country. It's a country full of poor people. That gold dome, that's gold. That's real gold. They take 10 or 20 pounds of gold or whatever, hammer it out, mm-hmm. and cover the dome of these churches with that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I really like C2, photo C2. This is when we had a shark hunters tour there, I know, quite some years ago. And these people, this is on a cruiser, the cruiser Smolny. We were received by all these admirals and generals. And if you see the guy, I put an X on him in the gray suit over on the left with the baggy pants and the brown shoes. Do you see that?
Yep.
You know who that is?
Let me see.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
That's
Vladimir Putin.
He came out to meet the shark hunters. That is Vladimir Putin. He came out to meet the shark hunters. I spent about 15 minutes talking to him. Excuse me. He's not a madman. He's a very hardcore patriotic Russian, and that don't make him a bad guy. But, yeah, he was with the group that came out to welcome the shark hunters aboard this cruiser. Bunch more pictures on shark hunters under previous tours.
Uh-huh.
Sharkhunters.com, uh-huh. Previous tours.
Go take the tour, the 2008 Argentine tour with Harry. Went down. That was his first visit to Inalco. It is a terrific picture story. The 2008 tour to Argentina with Harry Cooper. You'll see him go through all the issues that are surrounding Inalco. Then he'll actually arrive at Inalco, and you'll see inside the house. You'll see outside. You'll see amazing things. It's just
right.
It was a great coup, great historical coup.
Yeah, we were the first ones there.
Yes.
And then if your people can, if they want more, send me an email, sharkhunters@sharkhunters.com, and we'll send the current issue of the magazine electronically. And hopefully they come with us. Quick clip over to C3. When we were there on our last tour to Russia some years ago, we toured this destroyer. The name of the destroyer is Druzhny. Druzhny. It's Russian. It means friendly. Who would name a destroyer friendly?
Yeah. Kind of silly.
That's it. It's friendly. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Next up, C4.
C4. The last supreme commander of the Soviet Navy, Fleet Admiral, that's five stars, Vladimir Chernyavin, wearing his shark hunter's hat. And right next to him there is Anatoly Smal. He was chief of intelligence for the Soviet Navy. He has passed away since, but Chernyavin, he's still a member. Getting old, though, I guess.
That's amazing. And these people receive the magazine routinely and everything else that all members get. So.
Yep. And hopefully we'll see Chernyavin again. I don't know. He's pretty well up there in years.
Yeah.
He's a very lucky guy. When the Soviet Union was getting weak and ready to collapse, he was relieved of command. He's very lucky. They just told him, you're out. Get out of here. You're out of the business. Usually, it was a bullet in the back of the head.
Yeah.
Hell of a retirement plan.
One way to retire, yeah.
Yeah, rough way. So I'm kind of rushing through the sea pictures because we have not confirmed our trip to Russia yet. We're still working out the details.
All right.
C5 is Petrovarets, which I think translates to Peter's favorite palace or something like that. All those gold statues, they're gold. Probably gold plated. But this was one of his favorite palaces. They had palaces all over. Each guy had a bunch of palaces.
Kind of like
a winter palace and a summer palace in the same town.
Kind of like you, isn't it?
Yeah, right. I've got palaces all over the place. I get there in my Mercedes limo.
Your palace, one of your palaces has wheels on it, isn't it?
Yeah, we have a travel trailer, so
when
we have to go someplace, the whole business comes with us, because my poor wife doesn't get a galley. I take over the whole galley with all our computers, printers, scanners, and everything, and we go someplace for something important, and my wife says, hey, let's go do this. No, I got work to do. I'm right now... At this moment, I'm finishing up 4 books, which we hope will all be done by the end of this month. And then we've got a couple more books to do. Then we've got a super, super announcement for Shark Hunters members that we'll make in about another month.
All right.
Moving forward, upward, onward, forward together. And then C6 is just another beautiful, same palace, cathedral, whatever, from a different angle.
Okay.
Now we switch back to the new A series, which got out of sequence somehow. A-17, this is the Werther Sea, which is also where that nude lady was swimming. Good for her. It's ice cold. Even in summertime, it's ice cold. Mm. But we go on this excursion boat around this beautiful, beautiful long lake. I think it's 18 kilometers long, something like that. And it takes about 3 hours. It's not the 3-hour two with the Gilligan and the Skipper two, but...
Which lake is this?
This is Werther Sea in southern Austria.
Right.
And the next picture, A-18, we're on this boat, just cruising. The guy on the far left, Paul, he just passed away at age 96. His wife died about 10 years ago. He found this Italian girlfriend. She couldn't speak German. He couldn't speak Italian, but they got along well. He was a tank commander and finally reached the rank of Oberstleutnant, which is a lieutenant colonel, and he was one of the ones, if you know the history of the Cherkessy pocket, where, you know, the Russians allowed the Germans to penetrate so far and fold their lines, but then they'd close the lines behind them and trap the Germans in a pocket. And the Cherkessy pocket was one of the bloodiest battles where they lost about 80% of their people. But Paul managed to go on through. He got injured. Lost an eye, so they made him a forward observer. The fellow next to him, Peter, his father was in the Gebirgsjäger, the mountain troops, and that's me. That's a rare picture of me with a beer. You know, I don't drink beer.
No, it's a prop.
You know, yeah, right. I bet I haven't drank 2 cases of beer in my whole life, but just a pleasant cruise out on that lake, and
nice.
A lot of fellowship.
Nice, nice. Who's right. The little lady in the corner?
She's the wife of the fellow sitting across the table from her, the guy next to me.
Uh-huh.
I forget, he was a Waffen-SS also. I forgot his name. I only met him that one day, and that's his wife sitting across the table from him.
Very good.
Nice people. You can see how much fun we're having.
Of course. Yeah.
And I saw his SS ring, the one that was silver. Anyhow, you know what an SS ring is. We don't need to go on to that much.
Okay. A-19. What a postcard A-19. View that is.
That's what it is. That's where we're planning to be for about 3 days, 4 days on this trip. This is Opatija, Croatia.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure we'll be in the town of Opatija, but we'll be along that coast. It's just beautiful over there. And it's now called the Croatian Riviera.
Uh-huh.
It's been discovered now that it's no longer communist. And it's beautiful. If you look to A2, that was our hotel. Hell of a deal. Right
Very
on
nice.
The Adriatic.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
And, yeah, it is. And A21. Okay, yeah, A21. That's the front steps of our hotel.
Uh-huh.
And you cross that street, and there's the Adriatic.
It's interesting also that the landscape there, the mountainside, comes down at a fairly substantial slope, and yet these beautiful little villages are nestled right in the bottom, next to a lake, or in mm-hmm. this case, next to the sea.
Right, next to the Adriatic. And these are just kind of fluff shots here. A22, that's the beach.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of sounds stupid saying that the beach, hell, it's sand, and they got umbrellas.
Mm-hmm.
And A23 is off the veranda of our hotel, looking out over the Adriatic. There's a lot of history there that hasn't really been dug out yet.
No.
Like I say, until just a week ago when I was talking to one of our special agents who goes nameless, until that time, I didn't even know there were these bunkers and tunnels or even submarine bunkers on an island off of Croatia.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're putting together 3 or 4 days down to Croatia to see those places. The guys that did the Ulrichsburg Memorial remembered and honored everyone who fell in battle, but they always said, except Tito partisans. They had no respect for the Tito partisans. They never took prisoners. They would. They never kept prisoners. They found a. I don't know if you call it a mass grave. It was a mine tunnel shaft that dropped about 200 feet down, where they would have an elevator when they were working the tunnel down below. But they would take the German prisoners, strip them naked, tie their hands behind them with wire, and then shove them off the edge and let them drop 200 feet. And so the Tito was not a very nice guy. His real name was Joseph Broz, and Tito is an acronym for, I forget what it was, but it means terror some or another.
Hmm.
Not a nice guy, but a beautiful country and loaded with history, and that's where shark hunters go. We go where the history is.
Very good. Okay, a reminder. What we want to do is send Harry down to Argentina next month, and if we can just get 15 of you to pop for $250, we're there.
Or more.
Or more, but he'll get there. We'll get there.
That's
so,
all tax deductible.
Yeah, and if you want to send more than that, great, that's fine. But if we can just get that much, we can get the airfare taken care of and so forth. There's so much important material down there that we can't get to it. And without Harry, it may never happen. We're really at that point in history.
We're lucky that we have opened all the right doors and we've got the right contacts. That's the key down there is the contacts.
Yeah.
We've already done the groundwork. We've already done the legwork. And the people know that we're honest historians and not crazy, lamestream media that wants to find a Nazi camp guard behind every bed. And so they're going to talk to us honest history. So that, you know, the time is now. We got to do it now while these people are still alive.
And that they want to talk to you is just extraordinary. That's amazing.
Yeah. Bless their hearts.
Yeah. Well, they know. They know. They know. They've seen how history has been so corrupted, and I imagine some of them are just really motivated to try to help that issue resolved properly. And you're the guy to do it. They know that. That you have their trust. They know the caliber of your work. They know your integrity. And that's it's an extraordinary compliment. So let's get Harry down there. I'm in for one of the positions, so we'll see what we can do. All right.
We're calling it a Sweet 16.
There you go. All right. Okay, my friend. Talk to you soon. Thank you very much. Always fun. And I really want to get you down there next month because I know what's down there, at least in general terms. And I want to see that happen. Okay.
Fantastic history ready to be discovered.
You got it. All right. Talk to you soon. Say hi to the family.
You betcha. Have a great day.
Okay, thanks. Good night, Harry. Harry Cooper, sharkhunters.com. Without question, the most credible, honest, accurate historical research organization in the world, in my view. Okay, back with more in just a few minutes. Hang on.